Well, we sure appreciate being with the saints here in Jefferson again. We just have found that no matter where we go, the saints are always the same. And we love that. About over a month ago, the Lord began giving me this little message. And I really didn't even think of it being for Jefferson at the time, but this morning the Lord started talking to me again, and I just want to share with you a few little things that the Lord, I believe, has given me. Wrote on the board, words of truth. I was thinking about our words, I believe, are important to the Lord tonight. And they mean something to the Lord because they're an expression of something that comes out of our heart. In Romans 10, and I've got set a number of scriptures tonight. I just pray that the Lord would bless this. I want it to be a blessing. I know if the Holy Spirit blesses something, it'll be good for us, no matter what it is or where it comes from. In Romans 10 and 9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know, the Lord, I believe, sees our words. And He lets us know right off our words are important. He said, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Well, we know salvation takes place in the heart. But our words speak of that. And the Lord wants our words to speak of that today. I was thinking about, I'll just lay a little foundation here first. Over in Hosea 14, the Lord told these folks here, 14 and 2, He said, start at 1, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. These people were fallen. Now, I don't bring this message because I think anybody's fallen. But I bring it because the Lord just gave me some words to share with you. And He told these people, He said, take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto Him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. And dropping on down, it says, the Lord then said that when you come to Him like that and you bring your words to Him and you tell Him, take away all iniquity. Take away my shame. He said, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from Him. You know, tonight the Lord wants to turn His wrath away from us. He wants to have mercy upon us. And He tells us, He said, take your words. Come to me and bear your heart to me. Tell me where you are. And I'll have mercy on you. I'll turn my wrath away, and I'll turn my face from it. I was thinking about a neighbor that I had, and this man was a very difficult fella, very hard man. I don't know, maybe I've told of him here before. We met him because he shot our dog, and that was our first meeting. And so we began to get to know this guy, and I asked him if he shot him, and he said, well, I wouldn't tell you if I did. But, you know, we got to know him and started working with him, and he started wanting to pray, and he started coming to church once in a while. And Rosie and the children took him some cookies, and this man was a very hard man. And she said they saw a tear roll out of his eye. But, you know, as we worked with him, He defended himself many times, and he told me at different times, he said, I've been a good man, and he couldn't think of anything that he needed to repent of. But his children had a different story to tell. In fact, his daughter wouldn't even go to his funeral. She cared for the man. She cared for him all through his afflicted years. Several years he was afflicted, and she did a good job. But when he died, she said, "I've done my duty." And she didn't even go to his funeral. That's what kind of man he was. When he was with his children, you could feel the disrespect from his family, from his grandchildren. And yet his words were, "I've been a good man." That was in his mind. You know, our words tell a story about us. They tell a story of truth. They tell a story of salvation. Or they tell a story of deceit. Or they tell a story that all different kinds of people, don't want to face who they are. And so they begin to talk. And their very words betray who they are. Men and women of deceit or wickedness. I want to read in Jeremiah where the Lord spoke again. And I just want to share these few thoughts with us tonight, because I tell you, I believe God wants to have mercy on us. He wants to love people. He wants to help us. But I tell you, our words have to be words of truth. And they've got to be words of honesty. The Lord said, "Take your words." And He wanted them to come to Him with their words. Words of truth and honesty. "Well, you found out our iniquity, Lord. You found me right where I'm at." And that's really the only place that God will deal with us, is when we speak to Him out of our heart, words of honesty and truth. In Jeremiah 2 and 32, it says, "Can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? Therefore hast thou also taught the wicked ones thy ways. Also in thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocents. I have not found it by secret search, but upon all these. Yet thou sayest, because I am innocent, surely his anger shall turn from me. Behold, I will plead with thee, because thou sayest, I have not sinned." The Lord had something against these people here, He said, because of what they said. They said, "I am innocent. Surely His anger will turn from me." And yet, what did the Lord say of these people? He said, "I've found the blood of the soul of the poor innocents." I found those that in your dealings, that you took advantage of them and you martyred, you killed, that you stole from, that you damaged the reputations of. You know, tonight, the Lord said He had something. He said, "I'm going to plead with you." Now, He meant this in a very stern way. He said, "I'm going to plead with you because thou sayest, I have not sinned." You know, I have found that there are a lot of people, to my surprise, there are a lot of people around that will say that. "I've been good, and I don't have any reason that I need to repent." Folks, every one of us need to be real humble before God. Every one of us need to know that God is almighty and I'm a man. And the best I can do is to be very humble before Him and say, "Lord, You know who I am. I want You to search my heart. I want to be honest with You. I want to face those things that You deal with me on so that I can be clean. So that I can come before an almighty God and You can bless my life and put Your approval upon that." And yet many people I've found don't do that. "Because thou sayest." When the Lord first started giving me this message, He gave me that little phrase, "because thou sayest." What are we saying tonight? Are we coming before the Lord tonight saying, "Lord, I need You to search me out. I want to know that I'm pure." Or are we coming to the Lord saying, "Lord, I know I'm doing a good job. I know you're gonna look." You know, we want to know that in our heart, because the Spirit of God witnesses that to us. But we don't want to come to the Lord with a high and lifted up opinion or whatever. I'm just sharing a few things, like I say, not because I think somebody here needs it. But the Lord started talking to me, and I just want to pass it on tonight. In Revelations 3, over in 17, listen to this. The seven churches, we've been doing a Bible study at home on the seven churches. And you know, each one of them, the Spirit of the Lord, Christ, it's in red letters, Christ wrote, sent a letter to these churches talking to each one of them. They were all churches of God. They were all serving God. But you know, the Lord pointed His finger, and two of them He commended, and five of them He had real serious things He wanted to deal with, and God wanted to deal with. This last one, the Laodicean church, He said, the Lord spoke and said, because thou sayest, here's this little phrase again, because you say, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. How could somebody be in that condition? I believe what he's saying here is naked, unclothed, with the purity of the robes of righteousness, poor in the things of God, not having those beauties of meekness and honesty and love and forgiveness and those things that God considers valuable gold in our lives. And he said here, he said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. You know, I look at this tonight, and I think, God help me. As I read through these two chapters of Revelation, I've been asking the Lord all through there, Lord, I want to know, I want you to search me out. I want to know where I stand before you. I don't want to be one that says, I'm rich and I'm increased in goods. Now that might be temporally. It might be spiritually that we say that, or it might be both. But these people felt real secure in that and have need of nothing. And he said, and they know not that they're wretched and miserable. Somehow the words that they were saying did not match what God saw in their heart. You know, tonight, I know probably most of us here are pure before God. I don't know why the Lord would ask for this here, but I want to tell you, if there's places in our hearts that God wants to put His finger on, let's let the Lord speak to us tonight. Let Him point to those places in our lives. He said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. In verse 19, he said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. What a promise that is. That word sup means supper. It means he'll come in and sit down and dine with us. You know, that's the heart of God. When he corrects us, when he tells us, I want to talk to you. You know what he's trying to do? I want to come in and have supper with you. I want to come in and dine with you. The Lord, I believe, wants that tonight. In Matthew 5 and 34, a few other scriptures here. Thinking still of our words that we say. Listen to what the Lord said about it. 5 and 34. Again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, Jesus said, swear not at all. Neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. I looked up a couple of commentaries on this, and I just want to read to you what it said. Now here Jesus was telling them, don't make some oath. What I'm telling you, I swear by the temple, by the gold of the temple, that it is true. Jesus said, don't do that. Yeah. You know what the commentary said? One of them said, just let your words be honest and right. And some of our old... Now, this was Adam Clark writing in the early 1800s. In some of our old elementary books for children, we have this good maxim. Never swear, for he that swears will lie, and he that lies will steal. And if so, what bad things will he not do? One of the other commentaries said, when we hear a man swear to a thing, it is pretty good evidence that he knows what he is saying to be false. And we should be on our guard. He that will break the third commandment will not hesitate to break the ninth also. And this explains the fact that profane swearers are seldom believed. The man who is always believed is he whose character is beyond suspicion in all things, who obeys all the laws of God, and whose simple declaration, therefore, is enough. A man that is truly a Christian and leads a Christian life does not need oaths and profaneness to make him believed. You know, Jesus knew that. He knew that all that swearing that people did, people put their hand on a Bible and they swear. You know, I would rather have the word, just the word, of somebody that I know is true than somebody swearing on a whole stack of Bibles and I don't know their character is true. You know, the Lord is looking at our words. They speak of what is in our heart. What's our word saying tonight? What does our words speak? In 1 Samuel 15, I want to read a little bit there. About Saul, 1 Samuel 15 and 10. This is a pretty amazing story. The Lord had called Saul and put his hand on him and blessed him as the king of Israel and called him, and he knew the voice of God, and God spake to him. And yet, here in 15 and 10 of 1 Samuel, then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. Now the Lord told Samuel this before Samuel even knew what happened. The Lord said, it repents me that I have set up Saul, because he has turned back from following me. But I want you to hear the words that Saul spake about this thing. On down in verse 13. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? The Lord had told Saul through Samuel, you go and you take the Amalekites and you destroy them. And you don't leave anything, man nor beast. And so Samuel went down and he destroyed a lot of things. But he brought back the king and he brought back some of the animals. And then he had enough about him to say to the prophet, blessed be the name of the Lord, I have performed that. I have performed, he said, the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep? What are these sheep that you brought back when the Lord said to destroy them all? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites. He did just the same thing that Adam did. They brought them back from the Amalekites. Now Saul was the king. Adam was a man that God had made. He was a man of his own. He could have done what was right. But he said, the woman. He had blame to give. You know, the Lord wants us to have honest words. That's who he can deal with. David erred just like Saul erred here in a little different way. And when the Lord sent Nathan the prophet to David, You know what David said? He said, I am the man. That was the difference. And I wonder, would Saul's end have been different if he would have just fallen down and said, I've sinned. Samuel, I blew it. You know, when the Lord deals with us, we've got to put away our insecurities and all of those things and deal honestly with God. He wants to reach our heart. He wants it to be right. He wants to put His blessing and His approval on the things that we do. But it only comes through being honest with God. Words of honesty, words of truth. That's what God has to have for us, for Him to deal with us. In 15 and 16, Saul went on to say, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Now, just a minute ago he said, blessed be thou the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And now he's explaining why he didn't, trying to blame it on someone else. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And so Samuel spoke to him, and I want to read in verse 22 what Samuel, a little more of what he said to Saul. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? Have you ever seen somebody that they didn't offer to the Lord the obedience that He asked, but they offered Him money, they offered Him time, they offered Him a great sacrifice of something? I've seen that happen. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, He hath also rejected thee from being king. Now, you know, I can't help but believe if David would have took this same kind of way, the Lord would have rejected him also. The Lord had planned to make Saul's sons and his lineage the kings of Israel. But He said, I have rejected you. I can't do that. I can't work with that. You know, the Lord wanted to bless Saul, and He wants to bless us today. I know this is a heavy message. I like to give messages that are real encouraging, has lots of good, blessed, makes everybody feel like wanting to serve the Lord. But I'll tell you, sometimes God wants to search our hearts. Tonight I believe He wants to ask us, what's the words coming out of our hearts tonight? We have words of truth. When the Lord deals with us, do we jump up and do something every time? I've seen that happen. Every time the Lord starts dealing with somebody, they start moving, they start doing. The Lord wants us to stop and hear His voice. What's the words? What's the word tonight coming out of our heart? In Luke, I know we all know this story. Luke 18 and 10. We find here two men going up to the temple to pray. Now, you know, the Lord told this little parable. And He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Now in those days the Pharisees were the ones that were really careful. They were the religious folks. And I find that people are the same. We're the same as people were thousands of years ago. We're the same makeup, the same personalities, just different circumstances. And if we're not careful, we will be just like they were. All of us. That's why when the Lord deals with us, we have to hear and speak words of truth with the Lord. Bring you words to the Lord and let Him deal with us tonight. He said here, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Maybe he wasn't. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Sounds like a pretty good guy. Maybe he was a pretty good guy. He just wasn't good enough to go to heaven. He needed the approval of God on his life. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, here was his words, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. What a promise. I heard Brother Salmon say one time, it's not that the way is too hard, it's too humble for people. It's too humble. When the Lord speaks to us, Lord, help us not to exalt ourselves. And many times people do that. I want to read another place. I feel like the Lord gave me these scriptures. Just if you'll bear with me here. In Acts 4, I know we've all heard this story many times, starting at verse 31, Acts 4 and 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. The Lord was blessing this place. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. You know, they weren't in a place where they were really under the gun or anything. The Lord was just pouring out his blessings here. But you know, that don't stop the heart from getting wicked, does it? Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. You know, that's a pretty big sacrifice this man made. He had land. I don't know if he had more land. He went and sold it and he brought the money and he just gave it to the work of God. And that was an honorable thing to do. But there was another man that had land also, and he was looking on, and he saw that, and he saw that looked good. That was appealing. And he saw also that it was noticed. But a certain man, chapter 5, a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own, in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. With his lips he lied unto God. And on down in verse 7, we see that him and his wife connived in this thing. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and on as many as heard these things. You know, the heart, the Bible says, is deceitful above all things. Let's see, how does it say that? And desperately wicked. Who can know it? And we look out across the ocean and see things that are going on, and we say, yeah, that's true. They're people just like we are. And if we don't guard our heart, we'll be wicked too. We better guard our hearts, folks. We want our hearts to be pure before God, and He wants it to be so too. And He speaks to us. These two work together to tell this lie. They had no idea they'd be found out like this. But you know what? We're all going to be found out one day. I just want to encourage us tonight. Lord, search my heart and let me know. Let me know from your spirit that I am pure. Not from my own looking at things. Well, that looks pretty good and that looks pretty good. Lord, search me and know that I am pure. Teach me your ways. I want to read a few more places here. In Luke 19, we all know the story of Zacchaeus, but I want to read it to us. I know I'm reading an awful lot tonight. I just feel like the Lord gave me these little places. Luke 19 and 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. You know, Jesus is looking for sinners tonight. He saw this man, and he said, I'm going to your house. The Lord wants to come home with us tonight. He wants to talk to our hearts. Not only the righteous. Yes, he wants to talk to the righteous. He wants to talk to every one of us. He wants to talk to the one whose heart may be wicked, and everybody else thinks it's righteous. The Lord wants to speak to us. And listen to what Zacchaeus said. Listen to the words that came out of his mouth. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, look at the difference between that and the Pharisee. He said, Lord, if I've done anything, I'll restore it fourfold. He knew. He knew his heart. He knew, Lord, I want you to search me. I want to be right with you. And he said, if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Isn't that wonderful? For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Where are we at tonight? Anybody in here lost? Anybody that is lost in their contact with the Lord? In their way with God? You know, the Lord wants to find us out right where we're at. He found Zacchaeus and he saw him. He was up in a tree. He was too little to see Jesus over all those tall people. So he climbed up in a tree and Jesus found him. Jesus wants to find you and me tonight. He wants to come home with us and he wants to eat dinner with us. He wants to sup with us. Oh, the Lord I have found is an awesome God. The Lord wants to be wonderful in our soul and in our life. He wants to make things right in our life. He wants to give peace in our home. He wants our words to be words of peacefulness, not words that cut and slice and damage and destroy. And the Lord's looking to talk to us tonight, I believe. You know, when the Lord spoke to Samuel the first time, Samuel didn't know that God was calling him, but Eli did. And Samuel, the Lord was calling to little Samuel, six years old, wasn't he? Or somewhere around there, very young boy. And the Lord was calling him, and he kept going to Eli. Eli said, "Next time you say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" You know, tonight, let's look to the Lord and say, "Lord, speak. I'm hearing. I want to hear your voice tonight. I want you to search me." When I was reading through those seven churches, all the time I was studying those, we've had six Bible studies. We have one that yet to go at home. All that time I was praying, "Lord, search me out. I want to know. I want my garments to be white. I want your spirit to say, 'I approve what you're doing. Hold fast that you have.'" I want the Spirit of the Lord to say that. I want His presence to bless. And I believe He'll do that if we'll let Him. One more place, Lord willing, in Psalms 139. Listen to the words. What did God say after Saul had sinned? He said, "I'm going to look out for a man after my own heart. I found me a man after my own heart, the son of Jesse." But you know what this son of Jesse was like? David, Psalms 139:23. This was, you find all through the writings of David, he said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." David had a heart. God said, I've searched me. I found a man after my own heart. You know who David was? He was a man that God had His approval on. He blessed him mightily. But what was David's words? Were they words of exaltation? Oh, David was, "Oh, Lord, search me. Search me and know my heart." He says here, "Try me. Try me and know my thoughts." You know what it means for the Lord to try somebody? A lot of times that means, in the fire we go. You know what that word "try"? I didn't look that one up particularly, but many of those words, tried, trial, you know what that's referring to on some of those anyway, is the furnace. Purifying of gold. Lord, I'm not looking for a road of ease. I want to go to heaven. I want your presence to speak to me in the mornings. I want to hear your word. I want to know your spirit's guiding me. I want to make a sure place into heaven. I want to be able to say with Paul, "I've fought a good fight, and now my course is finished. And henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to all those that love His appearing." I may not have that exactly right, but I will tell you, I believe if we will have a heart like this that deals in honesty and hungering for truth before God, "Lord, search me and know my heart." You know, it doesn't mean we're wicked. It means there might be some places in our heart that is leading us on a path that isn't closer to the Lord. It doesn't make us a sure, safe haven. It leads us away from those places of closeness with God. I believe if we will pay attention and let the Lord search us and try us and lead us in the way everlasting, what we will find is all along the way, we'll find these rich places where God dealt with our life. And like Abraham, I believe God wants us all to be like that. Did he just favor Abraham? No, Abraham heard the voice of God. He said, "Get up, Abraham. I want you to leave this place." And you know what? Abraham got up and he followed the Lord. He heard the voice of God. He searched after God. He walked in His ways. Tonight, the Lord is calling us. He has that call to every one of us. Get up and get out of the place that you're in. I want to take you some places you've never been. I want to take you some places. I want to bless you. I want to bless your posterity. And it's only in following Him that He can do that tonight. Lord, speak to our hearts. Help us to take words with us of truth and honesty and come before You. Speak to me. Search me, O God. Know my way. Try me. Know my path. Amen.